Greetings, Constant Listeners. It's Michael Rose Red Rothman. What you're about to hear is a clip from our latest episode of our Patreon-exclusive series, The Dark Tower Detour, which sees co-hosts Dan Flieger and Dan Caffrey studying the minutiae of Roland Deschain's epic quest. This time around, the team with the Kingslingers co-hosts Scott Daly and Matt Freeman. And together, they take inventory of the 19 most unforgettable critters and creatures from Midworld. So how do you hear the full thing? Become a member of our Patreon, The Barons. It's there you can unlock over hundreds of hours worth of exclusive content, from our Stephen King archival series, to our Spooky Souls Midnights, to over a dozen commentaries on all your favorite Stephen King movies. You can subscribe now through the link in the description of this episode, or you can visit www.patreon.com/TheBarons. Hope to see you there over long days and pleasant nights.
So this is where we're going to talk about some of the actual animals throughout the Dark Tower universe. I guess we should honorable mention in the beginning, the Guardians of the Beam. That seems fair enough.
Pretty important. So
of course, very important. So of course we have the elephant, rat, bat and eagle, dog, wolf, fish, hare, lion, horse, and two noticeable absences on that list. What could they be? But I think the best way to kick off this conversation is to start at number 19 of our top 19 favorite, important, just animals we like talking about in the Dark Tower. And that would be the Taheen. So Dark Tower heads will know perhaps a little more detail later in the series, but the Taheen are a race of humanoid creatures. They have the heads of animals. So it's sort of, some have contributed attributes that are almost like Egyptian gods, where it's a humanoid body, but with a animal head.
Oh, like Osiris supposed to be... or Anubis? Is that the jackal?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Horus. And they're supposed to be mentally and physically superior to humans, but they do enjoy certain human activities, like basketball for some reason. That's listed as something that they enjoy, but they don't like humans though. They look down on humans. So there was some debate of whether these would be animals, but I think any creatures that refer to humans as humes in a negative way are definitely animals.
Do you guys think it, well, and I don't know if we can go, it's so tough with the spoiler thing. I don't know how far we can go into the Taheen mythos, but this idea that they're smarter than humans is funny to me, because I don't feel like we really see that throughout the Dark Tower. Maybe we do in a little bit, given I don't know. What can we say about Hearts Atlantis? I'm trying to be really good about not spoiling stuff.
Hearts Atlantis we've covered on the
we can say that's what likely the Lowmen are. We think.
Well, I guess Cantoy.
Yeah,
technically.
Oh yeah.
Why don't we go? Number 18 on the list is Cantoy. We figured it's hard to talk about one without the other. So this is
It's like orcs and goblins, like.
Yeah.
But it's like orcs and goblins with a person that creates worlds the exact opposite way of the way Tolkien would do it, which is he really just throws this shit at the wall and is like, yeah, sure, there's these guys now.
Ask permission later.
This. Yeah. He does, like, that's the fascinating thing about King is that he invents this stuff and he has this whole world kind of defined, but it's in a lot of ways ill-defined intentionally. Like you just listed off all the beams, the guardian beams, and we don't know anything about any of those but like two of them. And I bet if you asked King like what is the name of the fish, he'd be like, I don't know. Like he doesn't really spend a lot of time on the backstory of this. So like the Taheen and the Cantor, like who are the Taheen, where did they come from, why do they look like that? There's nothing, right?
I feel like if you asked him, he'd just be like, cause a wheel or something.
Yeah. There was one thing which I don't know if I've seen a reference to this elsewhere online, but as we were, you know, at some point we randomly figured out that, like, or I'm sure someone else has figured this out somewhere in the world, but like the Beam Guardians that we get the names of, they're all like beloved fictional characters, like obviously Shardik. Everybody knows the Shardik reference. Mm-hmm. But then I think the lion is referred to as being Aslan at some point, and the turtle is Maturin, which is the name of the ship's doctor on the Master and Commander.
Novels. I didn't know that actually. Oh, that's cool.
Which by the way, you might think like, oh, come on, Matt, that's a stretch. No, because
come on, Matt.
One of the characters in one of his novels refers to like reading the Master and Commander novels and enjoying, you know, the parts with Maturin, the Stephen Maturin or whatever his name is. So like King inserts the reference to Maturin, the character, in his own books. Anyway, I just want to have that out there.
Is the rat's name like Templeton or something?
Probably.
Probably. Probably.
Has he gone over all the names or no, just a few of them? Yeah.
Just a few.
We know. Yeah. I mean, I think the comic books have invented names for more of them, but the only ones that are mentioned in the Dark Tower properly are Shardik, Maturin, Aslan, I think is mentioned offhand. And I think in a book that y'all haven't covered yet, it's mentioned that the eagle's name is Garuda, I think, and that's it. That's it.
What's that from? Garuda, is that a?
I think that's the Wind Through the Keyhole, is where they say that.
Oh, or is it from another piece of literature?
Yeah, Garuda is.
Garuda is
it's a mythological creature. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like it's an Eastern religion type thing. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's not technically a fictional character.
It would be really funny if. Yeah, the animals have all these noble names for the most part, like Maturin and even Shardik, these kind of mystical fictional names. But yeah, the rat's Templeton, the dog's Clifford, the elephant's Babar.
I think I actually read somewhere where Charlotte. the elephant is actually named Babar. So yeah. I think that might be a comic book edition. I don't think King has said that himself, but
yeah.
I did see
it. It can be hard to trace down because we did that one on the the Bends of the Bow. And there's just somewhere they're like, nobody has any idea where this is. No one's ever heard of it. No.
Is that an issue for you guys in general? I mean, for me, it sometimes isn't, sometimes isn't. I kind of love that because as much as I love Tolkien, it can get a little bit exhausting. Because you almost get sometimes that he's more interested in that, in this world building and creating this quote unquote Bible for Middle Earth than he is in actually driving the story forward sometimes, which I mean, I'm a huge Tolkien fan. Whereas with King, I kind of like that we're discovering it as maybe the characters discover it. Every now and then, though, it's like you were saying, I feel a little bit like, I mean, you're just putting shit out there to put shit out there. So does it bother you guys at all or not?
It doesn't bother me at all. I think the only way it would be bad is if it feels like it's not like part of a real world. And I think the way it works is that King gives you little windows into larger mythology and doesn't need to define all that mythology for you to believe that it's there. Like just the Guardians are a perfect, the Beam Guardians are a perfect example. Like we know there are 12 of them. We know at least one of them is a robot hybrid thing. We have no idea why, but that mystery just makes you go, oh, that's fat. Like, are they all?
Yeah.
Are they all robots?
Like, yeah, I'd rather be left wanting more like that than drowning in details.
And I feel like it would just slow the pace of the book so far down if you had to like stop and dive into the detail of all this stuff. Whereas really the only thing these books tell us when it gets into exposition is exactly what we need to know to move on to the next bit.
Yeah. And I mean, that all works better for me, if anything. I mean, the stuff where it doesn't really do anything for me is when it is just sort of a reference with no weight to it. Like did y'all ever read the short story
later is that in Just After Sunset? I think I can't remember which collection. Yeah,
it's about an evil Amazon Kindle, but
it's pretty good from what I remember. I like better than you would think it would be, but maybe it's horrible. It's been probably decades since I've read it's
not bad. I just bring it up because like that's a story where there's just like a Dark Tower reference that's just kind of like, yep, I recognize that, and it doesn't feel like anything. It doesn't feel satisfying, you know. But when it's subtle and vague, and it leaves you questioning, that's when I actually like it more.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's a great kind of to bring it back to the Tahin and the Cantoy we were supposed to be talking about.
They're also in Ur, by the way.
Losers Club.
Yeah,
I think those are.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.